The future belongs to those who control the culture, and the culture belongs to those who control the conversation. So we are having the conversations you wish you could have at church to build a safe and vibrant community. This is the Oz Table Talk Podcast. Welcome to another episode of Table Talk, and tonight we're going to be finishing our series where we've been talking about biblical manhood, and the title of this particular episode is The Legacy of a Man. But before we get started, we have a review. Ben, okay. Tell us what it is.
So it's from Marie.
Ben's doing hand signals over here, which is awesome. Sorry, go for it. Yep. Marie, yep.
I'm the mother of a millennial who told me he thought I'd enjoyed this podcast, and I must say, I really do. The topics are interesting to me, and I've gotten some really good ideas I'm trying to incorporate into my own spiritual journey. I always find it encouraging. So, a shortened version of Marie. So, there's actually a Marie at my gym, and we all call her Moz.
Moz. Yes.
Moz it
That's is. That's actually quite Australian, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. So
that was a really nice review. Thanks, Moz.
Yeah, we really do appreciate that. So, right.
I hope she doesn't feel offended by that.
Moz. That's true. But we really do appreciate your input. And, you know, it's the same for all the other reviews that we have received. We really do appreciate the fact that you guys have actually taken time out of your day to come and write these messages for us. We really do appreciate that. And anybody else who wants their shout out on the show, please feel free to jump on, leave us a review on Facebook or Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to want to do that. And, yeah, we'd love to feature you guys as well. So we're talking about the legacy of man. What are we talking about with that?
There's actually been significant deliberation about that title too, we should admit.
We should.
Yeah. So we're talking about the next step, right? So we've talked about how you become a godly man, and then we've talked about the maturation of that and what that looks like, you know, in its full glory, if you like.
Yeah.
And so then the next step after that is
to
go and make disciples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go pass on what you've learned.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's mentorship, right? That's what we're talking about.
Basically, yeah.
And what a legacy to leave behind if you are a godly man. Like if you're a father, for example, like you, Luke, I'm sure that's something that you dream of.
Yes.
Is leaving behind a really solid legacy in your son, Seth.
Yeah. And, you know, you can see God, I mean, we're not necessarily talking about the father-son relationship here, but it's funny how you can see how God organizes it generationally. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can see that there's huge differences between myself and my grandparents, for example. I didn't know my great-grandparents, but at least that far back, I know I can see big changes between them and me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see also some changes between myself and my parents, and there's obviously going to be changes between myself and my son, but it's amazing how God allows each step of the process to refine and hopefully get people closer to his plans, you know, which is great. And it's the perfect for that person, right? He knows where that person needs to fit in the history to be the closest that they could possibly be to him, yeah, which is encouraging. So
there's this thing called the snowball effect, right? Where, you know, if you imagine rolling a snowball down a hill and it collects snow.
You really do have
We're
to imagine
in
that
Queensland.
Yeah.
Does it work snow? With sand?
Look, I'm from New South Wales, all right? I can imagine this.
Okay. I saw snow once. I think it was about 25 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, well, just imagine,
it was only once.
Imagine it, Ben. It's actually made up of water, which is something that we're even more scarce of at the moment in Queensland.
Water? What's water?
Yeah, we haven't seen rain in a long time.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are in the middle of a really big drought for people that aren't in Australia.
Yeah, hopefully that was pretty clear by the fact we haven't seen rain in a long time.
Right. You know what? Just get to your point.
Yeah. So as the snowball rolls down the hill, it collects snow as it goes and it grows and it grows and it grows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the beauty about the way that God has created us, you know how in Exodus when Moses asked to see God's glory, God, you know, said, I'm this and this and this. And he talked about how that he was showing mercy to generations and generations, right? And how that he also, there was that generational impact of sin. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten the terminology at the moment, so just forgive me for that. But you get the concept?
Yeah.
Well, the same is true of the positive side of things as well. Mm. God created us for exponential growth, so that when Adam and Eve were created, they were created in perfection, right? And yet they were to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard concept to wrap your mind around. Yeah. But they were created so that they would only get better. And then as they had children, and then their children had children, and then their children had... It was just supposed to be this exponential growth where all of us working together would form something even better, even better. From generation to generation to generation to generation. And the beauty of being a man at any time in history is that that's the calling that's on our life. That's the opportunity that sits right before us. We can be the beginnings of that snowball.
Yeah.
And every person along the way that we happen to have some form of a mentoring relationship with or impact on is like snow adding to that snowball, right?
And the reality of it is that no matter what direction you go, you will have some effect on people.
Yes.
Whether it's for good or for evil.
That's true.
So it is a big responsibility for us, you know, as men, as mentors, as Christians, to, you know, to have that kind of a life that people will be encouraged and they'll go, okay, I like that, and that they'll be inspired to grow themselves and inspire growth in successive generations.
Do you guys ever stop and think about what your legacy is going to be when you're gone?
Yeah.
It's something I'd expect from you. How about the rest of you?
Why did I even bother answering?
No, that's fine. I'm not meaning to cut you off intentionally. Just giving them an opportunity. It's fine. To talk, because I know you're going to you're gonna rant on that.
A little bit. I've been actually giving this a little bit of thought the last couple of years, but it's mostly evolved around my trying...
Circumstances,
because... I really, really want children. Mm. And so... The thinking has been around, well, how I'm going to raise them, that sort of thing. I mean, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I mean, I need somebody to have children with.
But understood, though. Understood.
But let's just say the baby clock is ticking.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So,
well, our female listeners will get this.
Yeah. It's probably not something that we give enough thought to, right? You know, this whole idea of, you know, what is going to be the legacy that's left behind. And just before you, you know, go and tell us all the things that you would like to be said of you when you're gone, Luke, making huge assumptions here. Yeah. I just want to tell you a very quick story about a guy that made a profound impact on my life. He was an 86-year-old bloke that... was in the church that I was first a Bible worker at. So I became a Bible worker when I was 17. So I was a spring chicken, right? You know, I was really fresh. And so in this church environment, I needed a place to stay. And I went and stayed with this bloke. Joe was his name. And Joe was the epitome of Christianity. Just really amazing guy. And one of the things that amazed me about Joe was the footprints that he left everywhere he went. I would go door knocking, like, and I kid you not, there would not be a single street that I would go down in Wauchope where this man would not come up in conversation. You know, oh yeah, I'm from the Seventh Day. Oh yeah, we know Joe. Like, another one. Like, really? So everywhere in town, they knew Joe. Mm-hmm. And I thought, man, isn't that just such an endorsement for Christianity?
Yes.
And then when Joe finally did pass away, his funeral was like the biggest funeral that town had ever seen. Like, it was just amazing. I wasn't there. I was in the Solomon Islands at the time. Unfortunately, couldn't attend. But I heard about it afterwards and how profound the impact of this man was upon that little town, you know? That's a just a little example. Corner of the world that he lived in, right? Yeah. But in that corner, he shone bright.
Yeah.
And I think that's, that's a great example of how we want to go out, right? Yeah. When we go out, we want to go out knowing that there's been people who we've left our footprints on. All along on the journey,
We want to people to come up and say, "This person had such a profound effect on my life, and I wouldn't have had such a good experience in life without them."
Sure.
When I was younger, this word seemed to haunt me to a certain degree, and the word was significance. I wanted significance, and I couldn't articulate to you exactly what that meant to me, but I knew that just living the stock standard life wasn't what I wanted. And I wanted to do something that was significant to someone who? I didn't know. But I knew that that was the case. And this might sound ridiculous, but I remember thinking, well, you know, when I was 22, I remember thinking, well, you know, I'm 22 and I still haven't done anything.
Yeah, you know, man, your clock's ticking.
Yeah, like, come on, like Ben's baby clock, right? So like, come on, got to do something with this. And it was actually very hard for me, like, through those next few years to recognize the fact that I actually did have a lot of time on my hands, right? I didn't have to figure that out at that point. But now, being, you know, in my early 30s and looking back at that and realizing that, you know, that time that has passed, there's an element of me that sort of feels the same. But now I'm looking as a dad and I'm realizing that even if I don't necessarily have the impact on people outside of that, then if I have that impact that I want to have, that significance on the lives of my wife and my sons, that's enough. That's significant, you know, and if God uses me for more than that, that's great. But I don't think it was, you know, I don't think it looks like I expected it to look, I guess. And so I think significance is going to mean something different for each person.
But do you think that overall that your experience with significance is that it's cumulative?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yes. Whereas when you were younger, you were looking at it as there's going to be an event that's going to be significant.
Yeah.
As you get older, the more you experience life, the more you realize that no, it's many small, you know, circumstances.
What I will say about this, as far as anything, and this is sort of, I don't want to get too far off topic, but just to hammer this particular point, I really think that consistency is a superpower, and you can't build a legacy by a single intense event. And if you want to leave a legacy that's worthwhile, and there's going to be people like Joe at your funeral that are saying, wow, this guy meant something.
Yeah.
He did something.
And can I just say, it's consistency. Joe is a really good example of that as well, because the part of his story that I didn't share is that Joe wasn't a preacher. Joe at church was somebody who just came and he sat in church. He wasn't an active part of church in the way that we think of. He was in his younger days, I'm sure, but when I was there, he wasn't, you know, up the front. He wasn't part of the board meetings. He wasn't this, that, or the other. Joe's impact was in the little things. Joe would go and he would visit people in the nursing home. He would go and he would give, you know, gifts or whatever to people in the hospital. He would go door knocking, raising money for the ADRA, you know, missions that they were doing to relieve poverty and whatever. And he would strike up conversations. He grew a vegetable garden in his backyard at 86 years of age so that he could give his produce to those that were less fortunate than him. You know, so Joe was a man of, like you said, consistent small things.
But
they left a massive legacy as a result.
There are times when, you know, when there is a, you know, a big event or something that happens that just brings to the forefront what someone is like, what those small steps they've been making. It just brings it to light, and people,
it reveals their character. Not it reveals their character.
So, like you were saying, a single event doesn't form that legacy, but it can reveal it.
So it can appear that way as well.
It can appear as though it. That's makes a good point. But it's not necessarily,
because that's probably quite often what is deceptive when you're young and a bit naive. You look at those things that are, you know,
just a one
appear to be just a big event that made somebody prominent or significant, to use your word. When really, like you said, it wasn't that made them significant. It just appeared that way.
It was all the prior work that they'd put in. And when you're young, you don't see the world. I mean, every few years you look back and you at the world and you're just like, I look at it differently. And let's face it, with a mentor, we can speed that process up too.
It can be that last piece in the puzzle.
So what about for you guys? I mean, you mentioned Joe, but do you guys have any other examples of mentors in your life, or something, maybe a mentor and something they taught you or you learnt from them?
Yeah, tons, man. Yeah. Tons. Mm. Just reflecting on Joe just a little bit longer. I didn't look at Joe as a mentor back then.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know the influence that he had on my life and probably still don't. You know, and I think that that's also important to note about this, like this silent influence that we've just been talking about, you know, like leaving the footprints, to use that analogy again. You might have left footprints, but you might not have, you know, advised the world, by the way, that's my footprint. Yeah. You know, it just happens. And so, like, I might have found myself walking in Joe's footprints, you know, subconsciously, just not even realizing that I was doing it. And looking back, I would say that that's absolutely the case. So, yeah, there's going to be some people in your life where they've been a mentor and you didn't even realize it, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. That was definitely the case for me. I mean, you know, to think about mentors, we were talking about, you know, parents before. And, yep. you know, there's obviously, you know, my dad would be a very clear mentor. My parents in general, very clear mentors for me. But thinking outside the box, because we're talking about like finding people, that one that springs to mind for me was in that particular category, someone I didn't necessarily think of as a mentor until later, but that was definitely Phil, who was an elder at the church I was baptized at. And I didn't think of that at the time, but he invested in me so much. And at the time I was young, I didn't really see that. He just became a friend of mine, right? But I didn't realize that that was so intentional on his part until looking back at it later. But now when I'm sitting in a board meeting and, you know, something's happening and I'm responding to it in a certain way, you know, I can now look at that and go, yep, that was Phil. You know, that why am I responding to it this way? Why am I so calm when this is happening and that's happening? Well, it's because that's how I saw him do it. And I saw that it was really effective. And I remember, you know, one particular event, it was something very difficult was happening. And I thought to myself, you know, there's only one person in this room that's acting like Jesus. And that's Phil. And that had a really big impact on me. And just from that time to now, I try to model a lot of how I would respond in meetings and that sort of thing that are difficult. On how he would do that. Yeah.
How much quicker do you think you've learned because having him in your life as well?
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, learning by trial and error, that just sucks.
Hitting your head against that wall does bruise a little.
Yeah, it's very rare that you crack the wall and get all the way through.
So here's a question then. Just I'm going to be really practical about this. When you're having when you have a mentoring relationship, How do you bridge the gap? Because there is typically, not always, but there's typically an age gap between the person that is being mentored and the person who's doing the mentoring. How do you break out of the common social structures and actually engage people that are outside of your age group?
One thing you said just before was that fella at your church. What did you see it as?
Friendship.
Yeah. That is, I see, as one of the keys. Yeah. So, you know, some of the building blocks of building a friendship is, you know, you find something that you have in common and go, hey, I notice you like such and such. Hey. And you can start talking about that. You build that relationship and then, you know, it just grows naturally. But also when mentoring someone, you can have that in your mind to make sure that the things that you talk to them about, that, you know, you're constantly trying to lift them up, not just talk about frivolous type of things.
Yeah.
Somebody else that was a mentor for me at a time when I really needed it was shortly after my dad passed away. I had to go see a counselor. And this guy, David, was, in my opinion, very good at his job. One of the first things that he did for me was to build confidence with me as a person. And the way that he did that was to get my mum out of the room. So that was a volatile situation. He read that very quickly and he sort of assessed that there's no way I'm going to be able to help this kid unless we can have some time to build something. And once he got my mum out of the room, he didn't, all right, let's deal with this issue. He spent time getting to know me as a person, building confidence in each other, building a friendship. And then once he'd built a friendship with me, his advice changed my life. But had he given that advice to me before he'd built the friendship, I think I would have just thrown it straight out the window. and the advice that he gave me was that I needed to stop dwelling so much on the things that I couldn't change and to change the things that I could. So for me in that situation, I was dwelling a lot on, you know, the surroundings that I was experiencing as a result of the turmoil that happened after Dad passed. and I was just being overwhelmed by that. And there was nothing that I could control. That was my perspective. And he was like, no, have a look around you. There are things you can control. Why don't you go and do some work experience? Why don't you move towards a career? Then you've got something that you can work towards. You can have purpose in, et cetera, et cetera. And that advice was like formative for me. And so it's sometimes little things like that, you know. I only knew the guy for 6 months, changed my life in that 6 months. Mm-hmm. Never seen him since. But yet his legacy lives on in me. And so I think it's really important that we remember that, but also, like you were saying, the way to build that is through friendship.
Have you ever considered like looking him up and just telling him how you turned out?
I don't know how I would find him, to be honest. I don't remember his last name.
Okay, that makes
There's
it
a
harder.
Lot of Davids in the world, man.
Yeah, well, that's it. I didn't. Yeah, that would make it hard. So, if anyone else has something to share, please feel free. What I was going to ask though was, what about biblically? Do we see this mentor-mentee relationship in Scripture?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the short answer. That's the long answer. Give me some examples.
God with Adam.
Yeah.
Start at the beginning. Yeah.
Let's work, can we? No.
Well, actually, there is a clear string, right? You could even go as far as to say, well, Eli mentored Samuel. Samuel mentored Saul. He also mentored David. You know, and so it went on, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of mentorship in the Bible. You've written a couple of really good examples down. So why don't you?
Yeah. Well, the first one that came to mind for me personally was Elijah and Elisha, because it was a very clearly delineated relationship. Because it wasn't just like we're talking about, oh, hey, we're friends, and, you know, Elisha is benefiting from Elijah's experience. It was Elijah going to Elisha, casting his mantle on him, basically saying, you know, you're my apprentice, follow me. And that's a life-changing decision that Elisha made.
And Elijah made. Just saying.
Yeah, this is true. And something that I noticed typically, and sure, it may not be the case in every example in Scripture, but of the examples that I could think of in Scripture, it's almost always the senior person in the relationship taking the initiative. And I think that's a good model, right? You know, if you are someone who can mentor another, and I would suggest that if you're a Christian and you are old enough to actually be able to understand the gospel, then you can mentor someone else.
Yeah.
You know, there's no age limit. It's not like you hit 40 and all of a sudden, you know, you can be a mentor for others. It's a case of, you know, anybody can do that.
I think it comes down to if you've had more experience than someone else.
Yes.
Share it.
Yeah. And also, mentoring often takes place in a niche sense. You know, you may have just to use a skill example, you know, if you're passionate about music and you want to develop that particular skill, someone could mentor you in music who may be totally useless to you as, in another area of your life, but maybe in music they far excel you and they could mentor you in that area.
So something else about Elijah and Elisha that I think is really important, and that is that the senior, like you were saying, in this case Elijah, he chose Elisha for a reason. Now, obviously, in Elijah and Elisha's circumstances, there was probably a fair bit of prompting from God involved in that, right? But I think there's also a really true sense in which Elijah saw something in Elisha. And he's like, there's potential there, and I'm going to bring that out in this kid. And I think that's really important to us to consider as men, as mentors, to be, you know, to have our eyes open around us, to be looking at people for what they could be and for what you could be to them.
Yes.
And if you see something that you could add to somebody, or if you see potential in somebody that you feel like you could bring out in them, then it's your responsibility. And in that being a responsibility, it's also a pleasure and a privilege. But it's your responsibility to bring that out in them, to see the potential in them that they can't yet see, and to foster that, to grow that to the point where they, hopefully, one day will become better at the thing than you.
I don't know about you guys, but what I find difficult about this is that I never want people to feel like I'm putting myself above them. You know, even if they're younger than me, I don't want them to necessarily feel like I'm lording that over them. And so to engage in a mentor-like relationship and to be the initiator is, it's intimidating because you don't want to be perceived in that way. You don't want
Can
to
ask
be...
you a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt that way with somebody that's been in a mentoring position in your life? Like, have you looked at them as like, domineering?
No. No, I can't say that I have.
Yeah.
And to that end, like, this is something that I'm trying to be a bit intentional with when I see, like you said, I actually really like the way you said that, that, you know, if you can see a way in which that you could serve someone, then it's your responsibility to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that I'm trying to apply myself. You know, someone just recently that I came across that there's a very clear area of their life. He's just a young guy, but I felt like there was something that I could be of benefit to him. And mm-hmm. so I started, you know, pursuing that to make that a reality. So, you know, who knows where that'll go, but I think this is the point. Not every time, not every person you interact with is going to be a good match that you're going to be able to help. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not going to be willing, but mm-hmm. it's a point. The point is that we should be intentional about cultivating those relationships, even if only one in five actually ends up being that kind of a relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I asked you that question, by the way, for a specific reason. A, because hopefully it will make you think a little bit about the, you know, needing to feel, you know, secure about mentoring somebody, because hopefully we can all get to the place one day. I think it's probably something we all wrestle with to a degree, this whole idea of feeling like we're inadequate. Saying we're inferior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can all wrestle with that and get past that. But yeah. I think it's true that every time somebody mentors you, you actually feel thankful for that. You don't feel like they've been, you know, a domineering influence in your life. You feel like they've been a contributor to your life.
Yeah.
So if we're mentoring somebody, probably a 90%+ chance that that person is going to think that way toward you.
Mm.
Yeah. And just what I was saying, I just a parallel just struck me to Elijah and Elisha, well, Elisha particularly, mm-hmm. in that remember what I was saying is not every mentoring relationship ends in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Who did Elisha mentor? He mentored Gehazi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened there? Gehazi turned out to not be prophet material. He ended up lying and cheating, and mm-hmm. he ended up with leprosy for his trouble.
Yeah, and there was also Samuel mentored Saul.
Yeah.
What happened there?
What happened to Saul? A bit of scallywag.
Does that mean that these guys, they weren't very good mentors?
No, because you can only mentor someone up to the level that they're willing to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And to that end, who would be the very best mentor possible?
Jesus, because the answer is always Jesus.
Well, yeah. One who is perfect.
Yeah, well...
I was really having trouble with that.
I think we all just immediately went to Jesus, just like, is he meaning somebody else, or is it the obvious answer?
Yeah, the obvious answer. But he lost one of his mentees, right? He lost a disciple,
mm-hmm.
Judas. So if even Jesus could lose someone, is any deficiency in the mentor? No, of course not. No. So this is a good example.
Up to the point when he died, he probably felt like he'd lost 11 of them, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. Like
John was the only one hanging around at that point, wasn't he?
True.
Yeah.
This is true.
So I was thinking, you asked the question earlier of mentors in your life, right?
And
there's so many, but I was thinking of a couple of other examples. And so you mentioned sometimes there's a niche that someone can mentor you in, right?
Mm.
And then sometimes those niches are philosophical niches, if you like. I remember one guy that had a very mentoring role in my life, Rod. And the way that he mentored me was in teaching me how to think different about life. And I've found that that has had probably a more profound impact than some of the more practical mentors. Not that they're not impactful, but I think sometimes we, you know, look past those sort of... philosophical is probably not the right word, but anyway, you get the point. Sort of mentors that really teach you how to process life. And so for him, for me, some of the ways that he contributed to me was always asking questions of life, not just settling for, you know, what you perceived to be the answers. Also, not just settling for, you know, I can't do something. Give it a go anyway, you know. Give it your best shot. If it doesn't work, at least you tried, sort of philosophy. Mm-hmm. And those sorts of things have contributed, you know, in a really, I think, profound way in my life as well. So there's that. And then also, I've had mentors in my experience that haven't been older than me, that have been, you know, the same age or sometimes even younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to recognize that. You mentioned, I think, unless it was before we started recording, about peer mentors.
Yeah, it was before we started.
And that's really important. Like, all of you guys, in a way, are people I would consider as my mentors.
Mm-hmm.
We have that sort of relationship with each other where we're always sort of growing and learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sometimes opportunities for you to be a mentor of somebody who is older than you. And that's a delicate situation to be in.
Mm-hmm. That's a good word for it.
yeah. I've had that experience a lot of times, and that's probably because, like I mentioned, I kind of came into this whole, you know, church work at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it works better than others, but there have been some really positive experiences that I've had over the years where I've been able to contribute to somebody's life who's twice my age, three times my age, you know, and I think that that's really profound because it teaches, you know, we've got some pretty young listeners on this podcast.
Mm.
It teaches them not to feel like, oh, this is something reserved for those old people in their 30s.
You're the only one at this table not in your 30s, just saying.
Thank you for letting everybody know about that. I really appreciate that.
You'll get here, it's only a matter of time.
Yes, I know. Anyway, yeah, so my point is, you mentioned, you know, age doesn't matter, and I think that's really true. We can contribute to other people at any age with what we have. So I just wanted to point that out.
Well, you just pointed something out there that just sprung, you know, something to mind, and that is, you mentioned there may be people that are listening that are younger or whatever. There are a lot of people that listen to our podcast, and this is something that we probably don't have a tangible grasp of, because for us, like, and, you know, for you guys that are listening, you know, for us, Table Talk is us getting together every week, having a conversation and going home. We don't think of ourselves as sitting down having one-on-one conversations with a bunch of people that are out there so much, right? So when we're talking to each other, and we're not really thinking so much about that. But when I, you know, because I try to be pretty intentional about our social media, and I talk to as many people as I can out there, and I've had some amazing opportunities to talk to people that are in our audience. And if I've spoken to any of you guys out there, hi. But I've had some amazing opportunities to speak to you guys. And some of the things that you have said, that our audience members have said to me, are things that, you know, from their perspective, they have met us and they feel like we are their friends, you know, because they listen to us so much. And that's mind-blowing. And I mean, that's just such an honor for people to consider us to be valuable people in their life that aren't necessarily in our physical space, you know?
It tells you how low the bar is, too, for being a mentor, right? If we can do it, you can do it, too.
Yeah, well, this is my point. We are mentoring a lot of people, and when we don't do that, we don't say that to put ourselves on a pedestal at all, but we say that to say that, basically, if you can talk, you can mentor people, right?
Like, you can mentor people even if you can't talk.
Well, that's true as well. But my point is, just doing what you do provides opportunities, and you know, we're really blessed to be able to speak to multiple people. It's not just those that are at the table; it's those that are listening as well.
Yeah, yeah. And we genuinely care about you guys. We're just saying that.
Yes.
Our first thought is what we're doing here, and yet that has a profound impact upon, you know, other people. And I think that what you're trying to say there as well is that, don't overlook the little things in your life.
Mm.
I think there's probably a significant number of people that even to this day would consider me somewhat of a mentor in their lives.
Mm.
And I think that is really weird, because I don't intentionally try to mentor people.
Mm.
I just do life with a genuine care for the people that are in it, right?
Yeah.
And that happens to be the secret ingredients for mentoring, right?
Mm.
You know, I think the Sabbath school class that Nato and I teach is probably the most intentional area of our lives where we mentor.
Mm. Yeah.
But when we do that, I don't know about you, but it's just about expressing what's already going on in my heart to them, you know, through that class. It's not about creating something that I'm not, that we're not. It's just about being ourselves intentionally. And so I think if you want to know how to be a mentor, just be the very best version of you all the time. You know, that's you'll hard. Stuff up, but you get what I mean. Yes. The general trajectory of you being the best version of you, and do that with intentionality. So if people seem to really gel with you, do life with them. You'll be mentoring them, and you won't even really be putting that much effort in. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's effort involved. Yeah, there's sacrifice involved. But it doesn't feel like effort or sacrifice when it's just you doing you.
And if I could, this is, I guess, as we sort of get towards the point, the pointy end of our episode, so to speak, for those people out there that feel like they need a mentor and they're looking for those people in their life, it's not a bad thing for you to actually ask that question because, well, I don't know about you guys, but I think I could, we could say as a group that if anybody was to come to us and say, hey, look, I really would like your input, or, you know, I just feel like I need a mentor in this area or whatever, you wouldn't feel like that was an inconvenience. You'd feel like that was an honor, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
definitely.
And I think that is what most people would feel. I think that's probably the default human response to that sort of a question. And so if you feel that, if you have that moment of feeling, man, I wish I had a mentor in my life, think of who you would like to have as a mentor and just go and ask them.
I was mentioning before about Elijah seeing something in Elisha. I think it's true the other way around as well. Elisha saw something in Elijah so that when Elijah was like, hey, what do you want from me? He's like, I want what you've got plus, you know,
double portion.
I want a multiplication of what you've got, man. If you see something in somebody else that you feel like I really want to learn how they became that, then just do it. Just ask the question like you were just saying, Luke. I think that's so important. And like you said, there's just no shame in it. No shame whatsoever.
And there shouldn't be. And I think this is an artifact of our culture, right? I think our culture is very good for, in some ways. And in other ways, I think our culture is very poor. And I think this is one of those areas where we feel that we can't ask those sort of questions because it's not a normal thing to do, right? It's outside those realms of the things that we normally say. When you meet someone, you say, how's the weather? You don't say, can you mentor me? So it's just what we expect in our society.
You probably still don't go up to somebody you don't know and say, hey, can you mentor me?
Well, I didn't mean that it was someone you don't know, but you know, you get my point.
And how ridiculous is that? I mean, not even in a religious context, just outside in your career, how often do you have to look up and get trained by somebody else? I mean,
all the time.
I mean, seriously, you're not just going to hire somebody and go, you know that job over there? Well, here's a vague description. I'm going to let you learn by trial and error.
That's it. Sink or swim.
Yeah, sink or swim.
That, I was going to say, this is another thing that we see in mentorship, and that is there's an intentional letting go. Because even with, well, with Elijah and Elisha, and also with Jesus and the disciples, there was the training, but then there was the sending. Right? And I think this is a part of building good leaders, because you can train people, you can teach them and teach them and teach them and teach them and teach them, and then one day you're gone. When you're gone, if you have never given them the opportunity to go and execute what you've taught them, they're not going to be well equipped. And so, you know, there needs to be tension between those two things.
And that goes hand in hand with what some of Dave's mentors did, teaching him how to think.
Yes.
If you were to mentor someone without teaching them how to think, they would not reach any higher than what you got to. Whereas if you can teach them to think, when you're long gone, something comes up, they can go, let's have a think about this. Let's work it out. You put the building blocks in place so that they can step on them.
Such a cool thought, isn't it? That that you could teach someone to be better than yourself.
Yes.
But isn't that the hallmark of a great mentor?
Yeah.
Is to actually help somebody exceed where you got to in life.
Yeah.
Because they were able to step on and step up over all the mistakes you made.
Yes.
You were able to help them move forward and not having to go through the same muck you had to.
Yeah. Well, even, you know, just this morning, one of the things that I'm doing for work at the moment is, you know, I'm coaching people that are coming into the web industry because that's what I've done. And I laboured for a lot of years with a lot of pain. And I had a call this morning, and I was talking to six people, and they were asking questions, and I was giving feedback, and that, and I was able to short circuit so much pain for them, because they were saying, well, what about this? And I just said, well don't do this. Do this, because if you do this, that'll just put you on like 6 months worth of pain. So just ignore that. Do this instead. I know that for a fact, because I've been there and I've done it, and I've experienced the pain. So there's no need for them to go through that. And I'm just looking at that thinking to myself, man, I wish I had that when I was 20 or 21 to get me started. But really what I'm doing, I'm setting them up to have a better experience than what I did. And that's what we should be trying to do.
Yeah.
Mm. And that sort of goes to more to your point as well, Ben. We do that for work. Why don't we do that for life?
Why don't we do it for life? Yeah. We should be totally doing that more in the church as well.
Yes, spiritually.
I mean, we talk about it a lot, but often churches don't have the best programs. I mean, it's very hit and miss.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's something we certainly could improve on.
Yeah. And I know this might sound bad, but I've spoken about how great it would be to do mentorship programs and that sort of thing. But to be perfectly honest, especially in some of the, not so much in this church, but in other churches that I've been in the past, I'd ask myself, you know, are there really any people here that I would want to emulate? Mm. And if you can say that about a congregation, that's not a good sign. You know, we need to... That either means you don't know the people well enough, or, you know, that there's something very wrong going on. And so we need to be on the lookout for those mentors, because sometimes they're few and far between. So.
Mm. There might be... You might need to be looking at specific niches rather than looking at them as whole people.
Yes.
Because I think as in a church context, we often look for life mentors. And for somebody to be a life mentor is actually a pretty big deal, and a pretty, like, it's a pretty small fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, you know, you look at people holistically, and it, you can be pretty fussy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there is another element that fits in there as well. And that is, we can't expect people to be perfect.
Yeah.
If we're expecting a perfect mentor, then we're never going to find one. We also need to recognize that there's this balance.
Not here anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, not
look up, look yeah, up, exactly. And you'll find the perfect mentor.
Absolutely. I think what it boils down to, really, you know, coming down to the end now, I mean, if you guys have anything else to throw in, please do. What I was thinking, though, really comes down to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, where he says, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah.
That's mentorship.
I'm not the main mentor. Christ is.
That's right.
But where you can't see Christ doing something because you haven't got to know him yet, get to and follow me, and you'll get there.
Yeah.
You'll be able to follow Christ after that.
Mm. Yeah. So do you guys have anything else to add to this one before we close this this series?
Just want to encourage people to set yourself up for a legacy like this that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yourself. And if you're a young person, put yourself out there to be mentored. Mm. You know, just make that a high priority on your list.
Yes.
Look for people. When you find them, be bold. Ask them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, what? Very few of them will deny the opportunity.
And even if they do, what's the worst they're going to say?
No. Yeah, and you're no worse off than you were when you first got there.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's all about leaving a better world behind.
Yeah.
And making the world a bit of a slightly better place. Mm. And if we all do it, the world will get a little bit better.
Yeah.
And if you're a more senior person, then I would definitely say, if you are happy to be a mentor to others, go out on a limb and talk to them. But on top of that, like Nato was saying, spend time with them.
Yeah.
Find out what they're passionate about. Talk to them. You know, and if you can build those connections, then it will become a natural thing.
Mm-hmm. And you may find that they've got something to teach you as well.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's true too. That's true too.
Yeah, every person I've ever been in a mentorship role with has taught me an awful lot.
Yeah.
Mm. Well,
with that, we'll wrap this one up.
Let's be godly men.
Yes, let's do that. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this series. And I mean, we've really enjoyed chatting about it, right? There's been some good topics, good discussion, and hopefully good application coming out of it for us. So we encourage you guys to have that discussion yourselves.
We've barely scratched the surface.
So. We have. And even if, you know, for the ladies that are listening, hopefully you understand a little bit more about the perspective of the men in your life. But things like this are universal. You know, you can mentor the young women that are around you. So a lot of these, even though we are different, there's a lot of complementary principles. So we hope you enjoyed it as well. So anyway, that is it for this particular episode and for this series. That's the word I'm looking for. And we will be back next week with another episode. We look forward to catching you then. And that's the end of another episode. Just before I head off, I want to encourage you to go over to our page on Facebook and also our account on Instagram and follow us there, because that is where we interact with our listeners and we would love for you to enter in and join the conversation. Also, while you're signing up, I would also recommend signing up to our mailing list on our website, oztabletalk.com.au. If you do that, you will receive our exclusive content, because occasionally we do release exclusives and they only go out to our mailing list. So I would strongly recommend you go and sign up for that. If you have a few more minutes to be one of the most amazing listeners on the planet, you can go over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review, because reviews help us to grow and they help other people to find us. So if you want to help us reach those goals, please jump in and give us a review. The final message that I'd like to leave you with is to let you know about our Patreon account. Now, Patreon is a way for creators to get paid for creating, and ultimately what we do does cost money to get us hosted and have the services that we need to run the podcast. And so if you'd like to help us do that, jump over onto patreon.com/OzTableTalk, and you can give anything from even a dollar a month upwards. But at different levels, there are different benefits, different rewards that we want to give you just to say thank you for being an amazing supporter of ours. If you can't afford that, we would just gratefully accept your prayers, because that is what our ministry runs on. And so with that, I will leave you to your day, and thank you so much for listening to this episode. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.